The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why was Esau rejected if he cried for repentance? Well, that interesting question is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hello, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We're going to take questions for a little bit longer, just like we've been for a while. We're taking questions from listeners like you. If you've got a question, send it to us, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. My name is Sean, and I'm here with Bob. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We're taking your questions, which you can send us at radio@faithalone.org. I have a stack of probably a couple hundred questions here. And so thank you for keeping us employed. You know, I can see that we have lots of work that we still need to do. So I'm glad for that. We love to hear from you guys, where you're from and how you heard of us, where you're listening. Here's a question from Shiny. And Shiny asks this question. It's about Hebrews 12, 16 to 17. And so let me read that first. Hebrews 12, 16 to 17 says...
Maybe you should start in 14. Go 14 to 17, yeah.
It says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." And so the question is about Esau. And here is the question from Shiny. And Shiny says, "I could not get a clear picture of what it meant. Esau cried with repentance, but he was rejected. So if a person falls into the sin of fornication after being born again and later understands his or her mistake and turns to repentance, will God not forgive his or her sins?"
Yes, God does forgive sins, and that would be a misunderstanding of this passage.
So in this passage, this is specifically about what?
Well, in the life of Esau, he came, was on a hunting trip and was famished, and Jacob said, "I'll give you this stew, but you're going to have to sell me your birthright." And he says, "Look, I'm starving to death. What do I care about the birthright?"
Right.
So he eats the stew, and he sold his birthright. Well, later he wanted it.
He realized it was a bad deal.
It was a terrible idea, yeah. But there was no opportunity for him to come back, because once he sold it, it was done.
He was really upset. He was sorry. He repented. Some things you can't take back.
Right. The point here is that it's possible for a believer to forfeit blessings. The issue here is not one's eternal destiny. The issue is blessings. Notice in verse 14, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." That's also a problem passage.
That is.
The simple solution is what the author is saying is, we see the Lord in our believing community when people pursue holiness and peace.
So this isn't about seeing the Lord after death and being in his presence.
I think it's about seeing the Lord right now. Many commentators have started taking the view this refers to seeing holiness and seeing the Lord in the believing community.
Oh, so it's like...
And that fits this context much better.
Oh, I see. So an outsider looking at Christians will see the Lord if they are pursuing holiness.
Right. And other believers will see the Lord as they see other believers who are pursuing holiness.
Okay.
So don't we all have the experience when you see some saint who's walked with the Lord for 40 or 50 years? It's very encouraging to see the person walking with the Lord.
Okay.
So in any regard, he says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God." Well, it's obvious the author's saying this is possible, right?
Yeah, he's not giving a hypothetical warning about something that can never happen.
Right, this is an actual possibility. A believer can fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. Well, that can happen too, right?
Right.
"And by this many become defiled." That can happen too. In other words, if instead of pursuing holiness, I'm pursuing bitterness, instead of other people seeing the Lord, other people become defiled.
Right. I was just reading about this on another passage. I wrote a blog about it. And Paul says, you know, don't become a stumbling block or a snare to other people through judging and criticizing them over minor matters. And then in a couple of verses later, he says you can actually destroy a person or ruin a person by doing that.
Right. They can become defiled by other believers who are bitter and angry and hostile. And so they're causing trouble for other believers. And then he says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. Well, the profane person is basically, this is the kind of language Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, where he talks about baby Christians who are carnally minded. Mm. They're fleshly minded.
Yeah.
Well, Esau was profane in the sense that he was thinking about his belly. He wasn't thinking about his eternal blessing.
Is it Paul who later says the inheritance was really Christ? That's who Esau was rejecting, ultimately. He was rejecting becoming the ancestor of the Messiah. It wasn't just about cattle. It wasn't just about land.
Right.
Ultimately, it was about being the ancestor of the Genesis 3:15 promise,
right,
wasn't it?
Right.
Major Ian Thomas makes this point. By rejecting his inheritance, he was actually rejecting Christ. So he wasn't thinking about spiritual things, right?
Yeah. Now, I would say, however, and I'm not sure how Major Ian Thomas takes this, but I would say that Esau is an example of a born-again person.
So he's a believer.
Who fell short of the grace of God, who became bitter, who was profane. So I would say he is a believer. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to warn us not to be like Esau if Esau was a famous unbeliever.
Well, I don't know. Doesn't Paul kind of often say, don't be walking like those Gentiles?
He does. But then again, here he's not called a Gentile. He's not called an unbeliever.
Right.
There's nothing to question his eternal destiny. And when you read the Old Testament, in fact, even this passage, he wanted the birthright later. He was repentant. He was turning from his former ways, but it was too late because the decision had already been made.
Okay.
And so I would say he's an example of a believer who was profane. And so the fornicator part of it, I think the fornicator or profane, that's a bit confusing. Why bring in fornication here? We don't have any Old Testament examples of Esau being a fornicator, other than the fact that he married the local women, Canaanite women, and that did not please his parents.
No.
So maybe he's called a fornicator in that sense, but I'm not really clear on why the term fornicator is used here, but he was profane in the sense that he wasn't picking his spouses where his mom and dad would want him. He got them from the local women, which was not what God wanted, not what his parents wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And also, of course, he sold his birthright. And I think the point here at the end is there was no place for repentance, though he sought for it diligently with tears. It's saying some things we do have lasting consequences.
Right.
It's not to say, what was the exact question again?
If a person falls into sin, the sin of fornication after being born again and later understands his or her mistake and turns to repentance, will God not forgive them?
Yes, God will forgive them. But basically, I think what we can say is things were lost that are not recoverable. For example, in Luke 15, the prodigal son, he gets his inheritance early. He's the younger son, so he gets one-third of his father's estate, which is unheard of to do it while his father's still alive. But his father gives him a third of the estate. He goes to Las Vegas. Well, he goes to the far country.
The far country.
I have friends in Las Vegas. That's a joke. But he goes to the far country, and it says he wastes everything on prodigal living. That's why he's called the prodigal son.
And you don't get that back.
And he doesn't get that back.
The casino does not give your money back.
No.
Even if you repent and you're like, oh, I really shouldn't have made that bet.
No, and he ends up, here's this Jewish boy ending up feeding the pigs.
Right.
And he longs to eat what the pigs eat because he's so hungry.
Right.
So he goes back to his father, and he wants to be a servant. And his father says, no, I'm going to restore you to sonship. But he does say to the older brother, when he's talking to your older brother, all that I have is yours. So the older brother has the entire inheritance, and the younger brother has squandered it. He's lost it. But then the father gives him the ring and the robe, and he slays the fatted calf for him, and that suggests maybe there is some reward possible for him.
Hypothetically, he's still young. He can still grow the father's estate. Maybe he can gain back some inheritance. I don't know.
Well, whether it would work in a literal sense or not, obviously the father restores him to fellowship.
Sure.
And so, yes, we should understand that any believer who repents is going to get back in fellowship with God.
And that's 1 John 1:7-9. If you want to know
Absolutely.
About forgiveness.
Right. But that doesn't mean that there aren't consequences.
Well, you know, to give a real world example, I was just reading, I'm friends with a pastor online, and he ended up cheating on his wife and he divorced, and he was just, he said he was just riding in the car with his teenage daughter, and his teenage daughter was just, this happened years ago, and she just kind of brought up, man, I really wish all that stuff hadn't happened. I wish we were still a family. And this dad was, he just said, I just had to apologize again for what I had done all those years ago. And I wish I could fix it. I wish I could go back in time, but I can't. What happened has happened. And I wish I could take it back, but I couldn't. Now this past, he's forgiven. I think, you know, he's repented of that sin and he asked God for forgiveness. And I believe he's forgiven, but you can't erase those consequences of your actions.
That's right. And we have, I don't know how many thousands of prisoners that are reading our materials, following what we're doing, and maybe they can even listen to our podcast.
Right.
Many of them are people who were believers before they went in prison.
Yeah.
And they had a fall.
Yeah.
And they're going to experience some time in prison, even though they repent, and even though they're now walking in fellowship. Now, of course, I've spoken in prisons before and met people who came to faith in prison, which that's kind of a blessing, right?
Sure.
That you've got somebody who commits some crime, and they get into prison, and they get evangelized,
yeah,
and they come to faith. That's a terrific thing.
Yeah. So the bottom line, Shiny, is, I mean, once you lose a reward, once you lose your inheritance, some blessings are lost. And you can still get future blessings,
right,
but once you miss an opportunity, you can miss out on that past blessing.
I think that's a good way to put it, yeah.
All right, well, thank you for your questions. And by the way, if you want to read more about eternal rewards, you're going to want to check out Bob's book, The Road to Reward. And if you're interested in reading about Hebrews and just understanding Hebrews better, we have a commentary by Ken Yates called Hebrews, and you can find that at faithalone.org as well. Thanks for the questions, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how you can know if the Spirit of God is leading you. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.